need no education. Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and I'm joined by my co-host and radio extraordinaire, Pete Hegseth.
Someone told you to say that. I know that.
Maybe.
You know those mornings where
I would say you're extraordinary.
No, that's not true. But you know those mornings when you wake up and you're just behind the curve from minute one and you rush into the studio and you shuffle your paper and you turn on the microphone? That's one of these mornings.
That
right
is
here.
One of these mornings.
So if you are having yes. one of those out there, we're having it here. But I think that leads to a clear mind when you just kind of step back and say, we're just going to talk. We're going to talk about the issues.
Well,
we've got some big issues to talk about
we
today.
We do have some big issues today. Absolutely. And maybe some of our other listener or some of our listeners may have remembered a few weeks ago, maybe even more than a month ago.
Yeah.
We had a couple of parents on to talk about the BOLD plan that's happening right here in Stillwater. And they had some very strong feelings about not wanting these schools to be shut down.
Yeah.
And one of the listeners to our show actually contacted us and said, boy, I actually have a different view of the BOLD plan, and it's something that I'm actually in favor of. And so we decided we'd like to give him an opportunity to share his thoughts. So we're going to have him on a little bit later today in the show. But in the meantime, you know, let's talk a little bit about what this is, and you can talk too.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like part of the point of this program is to get down into the issues and figure out both sides and where they're coming from and why people come to a certain conclusion. Fair and balanced, you might say.
Exactly.
But I it was interesting to hear the one perspective, which were parents that rose up because they felt like they were treated unfairly in the way that the BOLD proposal was introduced to them.
Right.
There was a bond issue that was passed where they thought they were going to fund the schools in the north part of the school district.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. They passed that. They were happy about that. New superintendent comes in, new set of proposals, this BOLD initiative that initially was going to kind of happen as a backdoor deal, but then there were a series of public hearings where there was almost overwhelming, not completely unanimous, but overwhelming opposition to
right.
the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took a poll, and it showed that majority of citizens didn't want to close those schools.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still, the vote was still 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have an ongoing effort to block this closure of these schools.
Right.
And you sit here and you say, well, I get why those parents are opposed to it, because I understand the desire to send your kids to a great school that's in your area
right.
that you support
right.
in your community.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be another side
mm-hmm.
and another side that's going to have a reason why they believe this. And we all have our own ideas of what might be nefariously happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask our
mm-hmm.
guest today
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yes.
But I also want to hear what the argument is in favor of BOLD.
Right.
What arguments are they making mm-hmm. so that we can really get both sides
right,
of the
right.
case?
And for those of you who might not be aware, BOLD stands for Building Opportunities to Learn and Discover. And that is the title of this whole plan that the superintendent of the Stillwater Schools put forth, where she decided that they decided, not just she, I guess, to close down the Marine Elementary School,
yep.
the Withrow Elementary School, and the Oak Park Heights Elementary School
yeah.
in favor of shifting the population towards the other schools. And I know that one of the arguments that was brought forth against the BOLD plan, not only just because you want your neighborhood school, but one of the things that was pointed out in some articles that I looked at for preparation for the last show was that the schools that are being shut down are actually the schools that have received the most population growth. And so it's interesting to note that those would be the ones that are being targeted to be shut down.
You mean student growth or population growth?
Student growth.
So they've
sorry.
Had increases in
population
students.
Within the school.
Which, because
yes.
it is, there is open enrollment inside
right.
the Stillwater School
right.
District. They're known as good schools.
Right. And clearly then we have students that are migrating from maybe other areas of the district into those schools because they like those schools. Those schools tend to be more traditional in the way mm-hmm. they operate. They have individual classrooms yeah. per grade.
Yep.
And this is a shift that we're actually going to be, or we actually just covered. We talked about technology in the classrooms in a few weeks back. And what we're finding is that this is the direction where a lot of the public schools are going, is into more open classes, more open building formats where technology can be used easily.
Whatever's old has to be bad, right, Rebecca?
You know, it's always that assumption. And and yet, when I look at education, I think this is one area where we really could learn from the past.
That's so true.
This is what we are doing at our own school.
It's so
Liberty,
true. And so. Our guest later on, who we'll introduce for that segment, is a Stillwater resident. His name's Carl Blondin, and he reached out to our show. He wants to come on. He's yeah. well-informed on the issues. But what I want to ask Carl is, when he comes on, is because a lot of the arguments that are made by the school district are around equity
mm-hmm.
and this idea that for some reason too many dollars are going to the north, there aren't enough kids up there, the population growth isn't there, mm-hmm. so you're shortchanging kids in the north, in the south. Mm-hmm. And I want to understand why do we have to pursue equity by pulling down excellence?
Right,
Which is what mm-hmm. it feels like what's happening mm-hmm. right now. So kids are choosing these schools in the north
right.
because they're seen as good schools
yes.
that are invested. And so rather than find a way to make them maybe more fiscally sustainable or provide more choice, we're saying, now we're just going to close these down. And we're going to make it more equal. Why does equality always mean pulling people down as opposed to responding to excellence and finding a way to give more excellence to more kids?
And we see this pattern not just in education, across the nation.
Sure.
This idea of trying to bring equity by pulling down. We're seeing this, well, of course, I guess this is education when I think about all of the issues surrounding discipline and behavior in schools. So I guess that is an educational issue. But yes, this is what we see. Oh, you know, rather than maybe addressing the real needs of the students, let's just stop having students get suspended for things,
yeah.
even though they deserve it. And so we're going to be doing a show on that down the road.
Yep.
You and I
yep.
have talked about wanting to do a show on discipline
have
in classrooms.
To, yeah.
And actually, we had one of our listeners reach out to us on Twitter asking us to do a show.
I'm just glad we have listeners.
Isn't that wonderful?
I know they're out there. They're listening. They're responding. It's pretty cool, though. And I think we've helped facilitate a conversation when people want to provide both sides.
Yes.
You know, the first show we had was clearly not in support, or the people we had on were clearly in opposition to the Bold Initiative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of good reasons to be in opposition
yes.
to it. A lot
mm-hmm.
of it has to do with process.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the conversation today is going to be more probably a lot on the merits of the proposal
mm-hmm.
and why do others make mm-hmm. the case for this?
Right.
And, you know, we're not looking to walk him into an ambush or anything like that, but just, hey, let's ask the tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out
mm-hmm.
what the initiative means and have a conversation. And because this is not over. There's pending lawsuits.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The schools don't close until the end of 2017.
Three.
There's a charter school being filed in Marine. I mean, this is far from a dead issue.
Yes.
It's only just beginning.
Yeah.
And so I think knowing the topic is important to getting mm-hmm. to the bottom
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yeah, it affects right here where we are in Stillwater.
Love it. You know what I see behind you, though?
In the midst of a firestorm in their school.
Carl is knocking on the glass because
yes.
he wants to come in here and be a part of this conversation as opposed to just hear us listen.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break,
yep.
and we're going to be
right
back
on.
With our guest here this morning on Education Nation. Stay tuned. Good morning. It's 10:40 on your Club 1220 KLBB dial. This is Education Nation. I am not your host. I am your co-host, Pete Hegseth. Our host is the headmaster, Rebecca Hagstrom, the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy. This is Education Nation, and we are appreciative that you are here. We're here talking about today, always talking about topics of education. Today, we're talking about the Bold proposal, which is particularly of interest to listeners of KLBB mm-hmm. here on the east side of the metro, but throughout the state, because it's been a big education issue.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we talked about it from the perspective of parents who are frustrated by the Bold initiative. And Rebecca, today, we're going to get the other side to
right.
hear why people would make the case for it.
Right, right. So we have with us today in studio Carl Blondin, and it just so happens that Carl and I go way back to St. Croix Catholic days when my children were there for a couple of years, and he was the den leader for my children's Cub Scouts. So out of the blue, I get this call from Carl, and he says, boy, I heard your show, and I have a different perspective. So very nice to see you again after all these years, Carl.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. The pleasure's mine.
Yes. So we just wanted to talk with you about your perspective. I know that I spoke with you for quite a while on the phone, and I think you've spoken with our are the editor of our show, and have kind of shared some of your concerns with why you believe the bold proposal is actually a good proposal. And maybe you can share with us some of the ideas and the thoughts that are behind that.
Okay, thank you, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. First, I do live in Stillwater.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I
live here in Stillwater. My wife and I have two children. My son is a graduate of Stillwater Area High School. He's a junior at the University of Minnesota, majoring in history and Spanish. My daughter is a junior at Stillwater High School. My wife graduated from Stillwater High School, and she also attended Oak Park. As did my daughter, which is one of the schools scheduled to be closed.
So you got some street cred here.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
a little bit.
Come on, give yourself some credit.
I've been living in the district 21 and a half years.
Sure.
Okay. Wow. Yes, I would say that gives you some credibility.
So how did you get attached to sort of being defending or being a part of the process as it pertains to the district or BOLD?
I've been very interested in issues of academic excellence and financial responsibility in the school district for a number of years. And equity. The first thing that really got me going was I was very irritated with what the district called the busing fee, which I referred to as the bus tax, where if you lived within 2 miles of the high school or a mile of another school, you had to pay $250 for your student to go have a safe ride to school. And it bothered me that I had to pay this money for my child to ride a bus and take an algebra class while there were heavy subsidies for things like hockey going on at the school. My perspective as a parent and taxpayer is that academics should come first and the district should not be putting up barriers. And I guess what did it was listening to or reading the school board member said, well, there are programs people can apply for. I thought, this is terrible. We have a politician suggesting that the working class should be humiliated by applying for welfare. And that's what got me going. I don't think politicians
welfare
should do
being
like
the travel tax or the travel
subsidy.
Be exempt from it. I think that's a humiliating thing to ask people to do. And it shouldn't be done. Kids should have a ride to public school. So that was really the first issue that got me going.
And so how about this issue in particular? You used the word equity, which when we talked about it in the first part of the show, I specifically wanted to ask you about. Why do you feel like that closing the three schools leads to greater equity in the district?
No one wants to close the schools. And the first thing I'm going to say, there's just way too much animosity going on here. I think people need to be aware that this district faces some very serious financial challenges. We say the budget is balanced, but I'm contending it's balanced on the backs of our students. The average class size in grades 7 through 12 in our school district is over 33 students. That is too large for effective teaching and effective learning. We have a very high cost per student right now at Marine and Withrow because they're so small. They do not enjoy certain economies of scale.
What types of economies of scale would you be referring to? I'm kind of curious to know what those differences are because I'm actually not sure what that is.
Well, let's just take the example of a principal. Together, Withrow and Marine are fewer than 300 students. We have schools like Lake Elmo that are over 600. So the cost per student for a principal is going to be over twice as high at Withrow and Marine.
So we're talking about one principal.
Yes. I'm talking about, I understand what you're talking about then in terms of common economies of scale. I thought you were talking more in terms of more of an open format for learning versus more of a single classroom type of learning.
I'm not an expert on what to do in classrooms, and I understand no school is perfect for every child. And that's one of the big challenges public education faces is that it's got to provide a program for everyone. And I know that our teachers and administrators work very hard to do that.
Here's my question. You say no one wants to close schools. Well, the proposal is to close schools, so clearly someone wants to close schools for a certain reason. But if your argument is cost or number of students in a classroom, how does closing three schools that are seen as excellent and also have seen growth because parents are choosing those schools, how does that lead to better outcomes for kids in other schools that are now larger?
What we want is good outcomes for all children, regardless of the school.
So does that mean you take those that are doing well down in order to make everyone more level? And can't we increase excellence by raising everyone as opposed to pulling people down from good schools and putting them into poorer performing schools?
I would beg to differ that the schools are poor performing. If you're referring to standardized testing, let me suggest that the standardized testing is an excellent measure of the educational achievement and the income level of the parents, but not a measure of what the teachers are doing in the classroom. I have no doubt that the students who are doing well at Oak Park or Marine or Withrow will continue to do well with the excellent and skilled teachers we have in our district.
You know, I'm going to beg to differ on that one because while I do think that the income level can play into it in terms of how involved a parent is, usually the higher the income, the more together a family is, the more successful a student is going to be just because the parents are taking an interest in their child's education. But teaching and how it's done, whether it's in a closed classroom versus being in a big open format, can make a huge difference. You know, my husband and I almost went to Stonebridge Elementary with our children when we lived here in Stillwater, and I visited Stonebridge and knew there is no way that my son is going to learn in this environment, this open environment that's kind of based in play. This is a long time ago now. So we actually chose Marine because at that time we were moving, so it was before open enrollment, and we could have the option because we were moving that summer. My son, there is no way he would have done well at Stonebridge. Not a chance. Yet he did extraordinarily well at Marine in the single classroom.
So to piggyback on that, why would we take away choices as opposed to give more choices? If, I mean, educational excellence, choice is a huge part of how you do that.
Right. Okay, two issues here. First, Rebecca, the issue of whether it's a open classroom or a more traditional classroom is an issue to be addressed in the capital budget, not the annual operating budget.
Except that there's only so many schools that are already built.
Correct.
We do
not live in a perfect world.
Yeah.
This is not the best of all possible worlds. There are issues. We are going to have 10 elementary schools in our district. Right now we have 9, plus we share part of one with South Washington County and the Maplewood, Oakdale, North St. Paul District. It will be less expensive for our district to run 7 elementary schools than 10. Our population is declining, especially in the north. There is growth going on in the south. And this is a decision that was made last year. People decided they wanted to add that school. Mm-hmm. And what we have done, we've also increased the size of the high school by 1/3. That's going to be increasing the operations and maintenance budget, the cost of light, heat, cooling, and insurance. We're not getting any more money. We have decided, the voters, that they want this increase in the capital plant. If we do that, the money has to come out of somewhere. There are only so many places. Mm-hmm. Yes, I wish we lived in a perfect world where we had all the money we needed to fund absolutely every school. We have limited resources. Decisions need to be made.
Of course. I mean, you don't have to tell me that we don't live in a perfect world, which is why parents should be empowered to make choices. I'm a veteran. I've dealt with the VA, single-payer, top-down, government-run. Anything never works for everybody in every case. So the more you empower people to have a choice, the more you liberate them from command and control systems that they can't affect, right? Individual beings making individual choices is a good thing. You talk about money, though. There was a bond issue passed where parents thought they were funding those local schools, and then turned around with a new plan with a new superintendent, who I've never met, so I don't have anything to say good or bad about that particular person, that with a very different plan. So wouldn't you recognize that people feel at the very least hoodwinked, and that you use the word the people chose? Now, it seems like a very small number of people chose, and then public opposition, even though it was overwhelming, was overrun. Now, there was a vote on the school board, no doubt, 5-2, we get that. But can you not understand the animosity or frustration of people who feel like they were sold one thing and then another thing came down the pike?
Absolutely, Pete. I can understand the frustration. People's lives are being turned upside down. The neighborhood school is being closed. As far as what people were told, I cannot say what happened at meetings with the Marine and Withrow parents. I attended a meeting
So to be clear, the Marine meeting was 5 hours of five-minute right. speeches,
I think it was even 4 minutes.
I'm talking about the meetings held before voting on the bond.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, what was said in those meetings about what the bond was for? Fair point.
Yep. And I asked a question directly that I said, we are increasing the size of the high school significantly. It is going to increase the cost of operations and maintenance. We are not having any more money. Do you plan to close down Marine to save money? I was asking that to someone. Before I could even finish the sentence, our acting superintendent, Tom Nelson, he jumped on me like a terrier on a rat, saying, we have no plans to close down Marine. Mm-hmm. Well,
so that means that was likely said to everybody over the course mm-hmm. of that process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what I'm getting at, Pete, is when someone tells me they have no plans, that tells me they have no plans. It is not telling me they know how to deal with the problem. To me, it indicates they may be evading the problem. So, yes, I suspect that for whatever political reason, maybe people could have been more forthcoming mm-hmm. about the real financial problems this district faces.
But weren't they forthcoming in voting? They voted for more taxes on themselves to fund it. I mean, that's pretty forthcoming.
He means the administration.
The administration.
Yes,
could have been.
I think they could have been more forthcoming. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I did not support the bond.
Sure.
I thought it was ill-conceived. I thought there were some very good ideas. I think there's some excellent educational reasons to increase the high school to include ninth graders, but I had problems with other parts, and I didn't think it was terribly well thought out, and there should have been more discussion. I think there should have been a bond, but I think it should have been improved. And now we're ending up in a position where, yes, there is dissension in the district. Now, that is not the fault of Ms. Pontrelli. Let me suggest it's the fault of decades of all of us, the citizens and the administrators, not acting financially responsible with the limited resources we have. Mm-hmm. And
are you suggesting that Marine or Withrow or others have been financially irresponsible? I don't think that's what you're suggesting, because
I am suggesting that the administrators, school board, have been financially irresponsible for decades. I'm suggesting that we as citizens and taxpayers need to pay more attention and demand that these people exercise their fiduciary responsibility in a better way. Now, I'm very impressed with Denise Pontrelli. I think she is the she's, quite frankly, the only adult I've seen in charge of the money since I've moved into town. Everyone else has been spending like a teenager.
Hmm. Well, there's no doubt.
This is kind of a nationwide problem
here. No, exactly. But you were very nice enough to send us some notes in anticipation of this. And one of the things that I read that you talk about is teacher pay. That there's some comparisons in pay for different types and roles. Aren't there other places, as someone who's been involved in education excellence, where these dollars are being spent in a way that isn't responsible, yet we go immediately to the closure of schools that the community likes, that provide new choices? Why are we not fighting for the other stuff that would save money? Because you're right, you can't spend like a drunken sailor on institutions. And there's a lot of other deeper reasons why money isn't responsibly spent.
You need to apologize to the drunken sailors. They're spending their own money, not the taxpayers.
Sure. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You talked about the why is a kindergarten teacher on the same pay scale as an AP calculus or French teacher, subsidies. That's not to dismiss my dad was a high school gym teacher. I know a lot of great kindergarten teachers. It's not to say that they shouldn't be paid well. But you're saying that merit pay, that tenure, that things like that are blocking some basic reforms that might be needed in order to get some things under control.
Okay. I served on the Finance Review Committee a little over a year and a half ago. I think Tom Lehman, who was chairman of the board at that time, asked me if I'd be willing, and then Acting Superintendent Nelson asked me. I think they both appreciated my perspective. Mm-hmm. They wanted a different perspective. Pete, one of the problems is we're looking at two different things here. We have places where the district is relatively efficient compared to other districts and places where we are inefficient. There are places where it is easier to cut money now and places where it's quite frankly impossible. We can't tomorrow decrease teacher pay by 5%.
Sure.
There'd be a strike. First of all, we have a contract. That contract is binding.
Those are larger reforms. You're right.
Yes.
Yep.
And eventually, one of the issues we have is we have a very senior faculty in Stillwater. We have many teachers with over 20 years' experience and master's degrees. The average...
Which is a good thing.
Yes. And we are paying for excellence. We're paying a fair price to them. But we also have to acknowledge that if we are paying a high price, and I don't have a problem because the most important asset in any organization is the intellectual capital, the talent, the skills, the education of the people who make it run. Mm-hmm. And no one is more important than the teachers here in Stillwater. In the long term, yes, it's an issue. Is kindergarten teacher the same job as AP calculus teacher? Do we have to...
Some would argue kindergarten teachers are even more important. Depends on who you're talking to, right?
Development.
I don't want to cut you off, but we are coming to the end of the show, and I want to make sure you're able to make kind of the full argument you want to make. We've only got about 2.5 minutes left. And Rebecca, if there's anything else you want to interject, but is there a final question or final thought? And we want to get your final thoughts also.
I would like to just get your perspective. What I was understanding from hearing others talk about this is that the district wasn't actually even saying that the BOLD plan was a financially based plan. And yet you're making the case that this is a financial decision. That is not, I don't even think that that's what they themselves, the administration, is saying. How would you respond to that?
Well, I know they're talking about academic excellence, but you have to pay for it. If you have $1 and A costs a dollar and B costs a dollar, you cannot buy both A and B. You must choose between A and B. Mm-hmm. And
so you're saying they may not say it's a financial issue, but you think it is.
But you're saying it really is.
You know, Pete, in any organization, it comes down to how much income you have, what the expenses are. You have to say no.
Sure,
to
but
something.
You can understand why people. So that's right. I'm not disputing that, but you can understand why people would be frustrated that they're being sold excellence, but it's actually a balance sheet decision.
Right.
That's a very different thing, and that feels like hoodwinking.
Yes, especially when it's the superintendent that comes in after the bond is passed.
And again, we've only got a minute, so we're not. I will let you respond here, but
I think BOLD's going to lead to excellence. I was very impressed with Superintendent Pontrelli's presentation to the board as at the school meeting when she presented the plan for Spanish language immersion. We need to devote resources to that.
Why do we need to devote resources to Spanish immersion? Why is it not more important that they understand civics and reading and writing and arithmetic and the basic building blocks of our history? Why Spanish immersion?
Pete, run for the school board.
No, I'm being honest. Why Spanish immersion? You're making a case for Spanish immersion here. I want to know why that's so critically important.
I think
in 30 seconds.
I think knowledge of world language is a critically important part of education.
And we do that in public schools right now.
And I think it needs to be upgraded.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. We may have to have a longer conversation about this. Carl knows his stuff. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate your passion. We appreciate you reaching out. I hope the audience appreciates a real discussion, which this certainly was. We've all got passionate positions on this. Carl, thanks for being involved, invested, part of the conversation, and joining us here on Education Nation.
Thank you very much, Carl. We sure appreciate it. And for our listeners, please go to our new Facebook page, Education Nation, and share with us some of your ideas for future shows. We will see you next Saturday. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you.